Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about two pieces of legislation in Parliament, including the Prior Order Healthy Futures Bill that reforms the entire New Zealand health system and public consultation for repealing and replacing the Mental Health Act. But I started by asking about the government's decision to give $800,000 of funding for recreational drug testing services.
Obviously, last summer season we had the drug testing law in place that protects the people who are offering drug testing services. It means that people, particularly going to music festivals, if they've got recreational drugs and not quite sure what's in it, then they can get them tested and they know what the substances are. And it showed quite a high incidence of people actually having purchased something, actually it not being quite what they thought they were purchasing. And therefore it was safe for them, they can make a decision about whether they continue to consume it or not at all. What we're doing for this summer is supporting those drug testing services. There's a couple now who've got certification to do drug testing, and to provide them with some funding so they can train their staff who are actually doing the testing and also develop some educational materials for people who use those services. We're currently putting through the law that makes the drug testing law a permanent feature of our statute books, the one at the moment that was only ever intended to last for a year or so. And then once that law is passed, we'll look at further support, not just for those doing drug testing at things like music festivals, but those able to offer services year-round, particularly for, you know, people living kind of alternative lifestyles, sometimes living on the street, who are getting access to substances that they don't really know the origins of, and they'll be able to get access to testing for that.
Okay. Last year, the one-off bill is only designated Know Your Stuff as the main drug testing provider. Have you got more expression of interest since last year?
Yeah, well, there's now two organisations now have certification for drug testing, Know Your Stuff and the New Zealand Drug Foundation. I understand that there are two others who have applied for permits to be drug testers, and they'll be considered very soon. So there's a growing number of services being offered.
Okay. Well, considering the drug testing bill is still stuck at our select committee and the first festival is scheduled to be on by the end of this year, are you cutting this a little bit too fine?
Well, the intention was to have the legislation, the one currently in the House, passed by December, by early December, so we're still on track for that. I'm confident that we will get that. And what that will do is carry over any organisation that currently has a permit to offer drug testing. That permit will carry over until the newer kind of bureaucracy is in place for under the new legislation, and then any other applications can be considered from there. So I'm confident we will have good cover for the forthcoming summer season.
But considering, like last year, that because the bill was passed so late that Rhythm and Vines and Northern Base can't set up properly their drug testing facilities, are you sure that won't happen again?
Well, I'm confident that there will be more drug testing services available, and with this additional money, this $800,000 to provide training for people actually running the services, there'll be more capacity. What particular festival organisers pick up or offer will be obviously a matter for them, but I'm confident that we will, you know, we'll have more people available to do testing this summer than we did last summer.
Are you, well, you said you want to, earlier, that you want to, you have plans to expand this to all year round. Does that include clubs and bars as well?
The idea is that we're not just setting this service up for music festivals in the summertime. That becomes quite a narrow kind of audience. There are plenty of other people who don't go to summer festivals who are consumers of recreational drugs and other substances, some of which can be quite dangerous if you don't know what's in them. So we do need a set of services that are operating year-round. It could be clubs and bars, and we also want it available to people who don't frequent those places but who are consumers of substances and who ought to have access to ways of getting assurance about what those substances actually are.
Moving on to my second topic of the day. Now, you recently announced public consultation for repealing and replacing the Mental Health Act. Well, considering there's already an amendment in Parliament amending the Mental Health Act that's already at third reading, what's the difference between these two?
Yeah, so the amendments that we're going through Parliament at the moment are really, it's a very small number of amendments to deal with some of the more egregious kind of problems with the current legislation. So indefinite treatment orders, the fact that particularly for forensic mental health patients, you know, those who've accused of committing a crime and who need to be transported, powers to transport them safely, using restraints if necessary, and also the right of family members to attend appointments by audiovisual. So if they've got a family member who's being assessed or going to a professional, the patient is entitled to have a support person or family member there. Under COVID conditions, very difficult, so we set up a regime where the family members could attend by audiovisual. So it allows for those sorts of things. When the Hei Ara Oranga report, when it came out, it criticised the Mental Health Act, the whole of the Mental Health Act, but said that these were things that needed immediate attention. So we agreed we'd do this in two stages. We'd fix the most problematic areas so that we were more human rights compliant than we would be had we not done that. And then we're doing the repeal of the entire legislation. That's the exercise that's now underway, the consultation exercise. So we've gone out with a document to the community and said, right, what does a modern piece of legislation look like that means that we can provide the mental health care, particularly for people who are in crisis and who may not be able to make decisions for themselves? How do we make sure that they get the support and treatment that they need? So that is the big project that is underway. The stuff we're doing at the moment is just fixes some obvious problems pending the full repeal and replacement of the law.
But why amend the Act when you already have plans to repeal and replace the Mental Health Act altogether?
Because things like that, so for example, the current law where you can basically be admitted to a mental health unit under an order or certification by two mental health professionals, if that is renewed after 6 months, that then becomes indefinite. And that becomes very problematic for people who actually, people do recover after treatment and help and support, but they're under this indefinite treatment order. That was one of the things that the Hei Ara Oranga review said was actually in breach of basic human rights, that if you're under a compulsion order, there ought to be regular points of review. It should never fall into being indefinite. Likewise, for people who need to be transported but who are a risk to themselves and possibly others, you need a law that means that they can be transported safely. So there were obvious things that stood out for immediate attention, bearing in mind that once we complete the consultation exercise on the full repeal and replacement, it'll be the end of next year before we kind of draw that to a conclusion and then can look at the new law, and therefore 2023, possibly even 2024, before the full replacement law is passed. And that's another couple of years of people whose human rights have been compromised.
Okay. Minister, before we go, do you mind if I just have a quick question about the health sector reform bill yesterday?
Sure.
So it was passed first reading last night, but now the bill has been sent to a special select committee instead of the regular health committee. Why have you taken the decision to do that?
This is a major reform of the health system, but one thing this legislation does in a way that we haven't done in health and possibly in any other area of government policy is treat very seriously the findings of a recent Waitangi Tribunal report and actually specify how we fulfil the Crown's obligations under the Treaty of Waitangi. So there's a very important clause that the Treaty of Waitangi principles part of the law is unlike any other piece of legislation we've passed. Ordinarily, what we write into law, we say, look, the Crown will give effect to the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, and that's it. And we leave it at that, and the courts then work out whether or not that's what that is, what it means, how it means to give effect to those principles. That's because of a recent Waitangi Tribunal decision. It actually spells out what health principles look like for the purposes of the Treaty of Waitangi. And we've incorporated that into the law. So we think that will attract a lot of attention. And given that, you know, in addition to the statement of principles, we've also provided for the Māori Health Authority, we're beefing up the iwi Māori partnership boards. There's quite a bit here that is addressing the major failing in our health system at the moment, which is that equity failing when it comes to Māori. We think there'll be a lot of submissions on that. And so this becomes a law not just about the health system, but about equity in the health system and compliance with the Treaty of Waitangi. And we think both of those elements need to be covered off with a select committee with people on it, drawn from those particular areas of competence who can sit on it. So that's why we set up a separate committee.
Who will be on the select committee?
Well, that's up to each party to decide, and we'll determine ours over the next couple of weeks, and then it'll be for the committee to decide who the chair and deputy chair is. So that is all yet to come in the next few weeks.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.